Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shouting.
And we extend a very happy and blessed Father's Day to all the fathers and grandfathers of this parish. We began our liturgy this morning with the words, "Blessed is the kingdom." And our gospel today closes with the teaching of the Lord Jesus that we should seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. But what is this kingdom that we bless, that we should seek, that we pray might come? By blessing this kingdom, we declare it to be worthy of our deepest concern. By blessing it, we declare that it is worthy of being sought above all else. By blessing it, we proclaim that we look to it to be the source of the highest and richest blessing of human life. But what is it? We know that the Lord Jesus Christ spent his earthly ministry teaching the gospel of the coming of the kingdom of God. The heart of his message was that all should repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Not many of the people of his day understood what he was proclaiming by the kingdom. Most of the people of the day did not understand because they were looking for the wrong thing, the wrong kingdom. They were looking for a Messiah who would fulfill their hopes for worldly happiness and wealth and power. But the Lord had another, a far better kingdom in mind. It was the reign of mercy, in which the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted would enjoy the blessings of God. In this kingdom, love, kindness, peace, and forgiveness would be the law of the realm. And in this kingdom, the lowly would be raised up, the needy would be cared for, and the forgotten would be remembered. And people from every other kingdom of the world would sit down together to feast on the grace of our Heavenly Father. But remember that the Lord not only proclaimed the coming of the kingdom, he not only taught the values of the kingdom, he demonstrated the power of the kingdom by healing the sick, by giving sight to the blind, by casting out demons, and even by raising the dead. That is, the Lord performed all these miracles of mercy as signs of the presence and power of the kingdom of God. Therefore, the primary thing that the Lord asked of his hearers was faith. Faith that what they were hearing in his teaching and seeing in his ministry was indeed the work of Almighty God. Faith that he himself had come from heaven to inaugurate and establish the kingdom of God on earth. The Lord, faith meant unqualified and uncompromised trust in the surpassing worth, the power, and the reality of the kingdom. Thus, he taught what we heard in our gospel for today. When it comes to the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as dual citizenship. Whoever wants to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God must renounce their citizenship in the kingdom of this world. For as the Lord said, no one can serve two masters. But why would one want to give up the affairs of this world for the glories of the heavenly kingdom? One would do so only if he believes that the kingdom of God is better, and its values are better than any other values, and its way of life is better than any other way of life, and its power over evil is better than any other power, that love is better than hate, kindness is better than force, forgiveness is better than revenge, and mercy is better than judgment. In fact, this is the very faith that we express when we begin the liturgy by saying, "Blessed is the kingdom." We declare the kingdom of God to be of priceless worth, for it is the only way to true joy and fulfillment in life. St. Simeon put it this way: a true hope seeks only the kingdom of God. The heart can have no peace until it obtains such hope. Sadly, many do not have this peace because they do not know how to gain such a hope or where to find its blessings. But let me emphasize this morning among you that we in the Orthodox Church do. You see, the kingdom of heaven is the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ over the hearts and lives of those who put their faith in him. The Lord once called people to believe that he has come to bring in the kingdom. Now, after his suffering and death and resurrection, after his ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit, he calls all people to find the present reality of the kingdom in him. For, let me emphasize, where Jesus Christ is king, there is the kingdom of God. Where Jesus Christ is king, there is the kingdom of God. I fear that many are misled by the words, "the kingdom of heaven," which Matthew uses to refer to the kingdom of God for his own reasons. But many are misled by that word, "kingdom of heaven," and so think that the kingdom of God cannot be found in this life, but only in the life to come. Yes, the kingdom is our hope. Yes, this priceless inheritance is kept for us in heaven. Yes, it will be fulfilled at the return of Christ at the end of time. But, dear friends, the kingdom of God is also here, within us, and in the midst of us who are the body of Christ, the church. In the church, we truly know the Lord Jesus Christ as King. In the church, we worship the risen Christ as the Son of God, one in unity with the Holy Trinity. In the church, we receive the body and blood of this King so that all that he has and is given to us. In the church, we are given his Spirit sent from the Father, and with the Spirit, the righteousness, peace, and joy of the kingdom, as St. Paul said. In short, we bless the kingdom of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with which we are blessed. That's how we start our liturgy. With this in mind, we have this to consider as we join the nation today in celebrating Father's Day. If what we are saying is true, then there is something more important than providing for the earthly welfare for our children. There is something more important than providing the best opportunities for them to achieve worldly success in this life. St. John Chrysostom put it this way: we should be more concerned that our children attain virtues than that they acquire riches. You see, in terms of the kingdom, the most important thing that we can provide our children is a home where the Lord Jesus Christ is known as Lord and King. To offer them a place where they can grow in faith in Christ, in hope in the promises of God, and in love for others as Christ has loved them. In this vein, St. John Chrysostom taught that the home should be a little church. Indeed, this idea remains our vision for the home even today. That the home, the little church, exists in mutual relationship with the parish, the big church. In other words, that church and home should support one another in a mutual relationship, so that, in fact, our children see no difference between church and home. It's all part of the same thing, and one is an extension of the other. Whether in the church or in the home, we should be concerned that the way we live says to our children and to ourselves and to everyone we know, blessed is the kingdom. I know this is not easy. And as parents, grandparents, relatives, and those who nurture children, we often fail to live up to this ideal. I certainly did not. Yet let me say this. When the Lord Jesus Christ is not merely an honored guest in the house, but the center of the home and the master of the household, then he will grant the spirit of love and forgiveness, and all in any age will grow in grace according to their age and ability. So in summary, we thank God for our fathers and grandfathers today. But more than that, we bless the kingdom of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May we hear the gospel today, the gospel of the kingdom, and turn from anxiety about worldly things to seek the kingdom that the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth to bring. The kingdom that we confess is blessed. For in this kingdom, we have the eternal and exceeding blessings.